Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Training Camp 2020 Locked and Loaded is presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right, good morning. Wow, what a day yesterday, huh?
Big. That was a big sports-a-palooza yesterday.
That's the sports-a-palooza. I like it. Or sports-nado, as DMAC called it.
Right.
But yeah, it was a busy day. It started early in the afternoon and kept going.
There's kind of a, like, there's part of this to me that is a win, but also a loss for us.
Well, there were two losses.
Well, no, I know.
And a win.
I know that, but I'm just like, for us personally.
Ah, how's that?
Well, the Rockies got slammed again. The bullpen seems to be leaking oil a little bit.
A little bit.
And, but that postpones our apology letter to Dr. Breidich.
Yes.
Yes, that puts that on hold.
Beginning of the week, we were ready to start putting pen to paper.
Well, I had already started. It started, well, I'll tell you what it started. It sounded like just like this. Dear Dr. Breidich. That's what I had written.
That was a good start.
Yeah, it was a good start. But then I was able to put the pen down.
Are you worried that the pitching is becoming, they are who we thought they were?
No, but I'm not worried, but I do have concern.
What's the difference?
Well, worry to me is
it's here.
Like Chicken Little, like run and hide under your desk, you know? Concern is we gotta put our nose to the grindstone. Let's get back to work.
Grind a little bit more. Let's do.
So, you know, was I worried about Nolan Arenado's struggles early? No. Was I concerned? Yeah.
Ah.
Give him a day off. Let him get his head together. Quit jumping at everything. Let the ball travel. Hit it the opposite way. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Yeah, no, there's reasons to be concerned.
Yes.
You know, Yency Almonte, who was so good early on, last two outings, two innings, he's given up six runs. His ERA's jumped from 2.08 to 4.22.
Yeah, 4.22 is still pretty decent ERA here in Colorado, but...
Well, when it jumps up two runs in two outings, but
right.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but, again, in a 60-game season, concerning.
Concerning. Well, the good news is... even with this little first hiccup of the season, they've lost three out of their last four. They are still in first place.
That is good news.
That is good news. But teams are behind them, stacking up behind them. Dodgers are only a half game back. Padres, surprising Padres, are only a game and a half back. So Rockies back to work as they will be, let's see, they're playing the Rangers today. They got the Rangers at home. Got to take care of business against a team like Texas. So we'll see what happens there. Rockies lose, Avalanche win, and you know there was such for me there was such and is such a air of inevitability when it comes to this series. I mean, early on you could just tell, even when it was 0-0, you could just tell that they are the far superior team. And I was already prepared, even if they had lost on like a fluke goal and it was 1-0 and Darcy Kemper continued to stand on his head for 60 minutes, and even if they had lost the game, I was prepared to come out this morning and say, don't worry about it. They are the far superior team and they will continue. They will win this series. It may just take a little longer than we thought. Now that they were able to get that scoring splurge, their three goals in about a minute and a half, this will probably be their sweep or five games at the most.
I just
nothing to see here.
Yeah, I think
they are far superior.
I think the overall depth and talent, the waves that the Avalanche played with yesterday, was, I mean, it was apparent how much faster, how much livelier they were. The shots on goal. When it was 0-0, I can't remember exactly the time, but they went into a power play. They gave up a power play to the Coyotes, and I think they had shots on goal. The Coyotes had one, and the Avalanche had one. I mean, in a whole power play, they got off one shot on goal. And the Avs got a shot on goal. That penalty kill to me was, they are so much faster, so much better, so much deeper than the Coyotes. And yeah, Kemper, I mean, stood on his head for 31 shots before the floodgates opened, but you throw the puck on net and good things eventually are going to happen to you. I just thought they were overwhelming. Yeah. They smothered. Smothered is a good word.
Great word. And they did it all really without anything from their top line. I mean, yeah, they got the top line combined on a goal, the last of the three, but Nathan MacKinnon didn't have a shot on goal.
Yeah.
The top line was pretty quiet the entire game, but Nazem Kadri was fantastic.
How many shots did he had? Seven shots on goal.
He was playing so well that Jared Bednar gave him some time on the top line early in that game. Fourth line was fantastic. I've talked about this all year. Joe Sakic, the best moves that he made were to bring in, you know, proven younger veterans that really could provide, you know, depth, complementary scoring. And on a night when the top line was, you know, just sort of, didn't matter. Everybody else, as you said, it was just line after line, wave after wave, shift after shift. They just kept coming in. Even with 0-0, the word inevitability. It was just the sense that, yeah, they'll get one here pretty soon. Then they got one, and then the floodgates opened. So,
I feel like if you're the Coyotes, you just know, hey, man. We're just going through the motions. I mean, we're going to fight hard. They'll fight hard.
But they know they're overmatched.
Yes.
They know they're overmatched.
Absolutely.
They know they're overmatched. Can somebody explain to me they don't need to explain to me. I know what's happening here. Michael Malone is, I'll tell you what, let's get more into this because I just wonder if people were bothered at all by, Michael Malone raising the white flag before the fourth quarter even began last night in a very winnable game against a team that you're likely going to face in the second round of the playoffs, a team that, based on their fourth quarter actions, took it seriously. Why didn't the Nuggets? We'll get to that. Also, who are the best play callers in the NFL, and what should we expect out of the Broncos play caller, Pat Shurmur? That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Silta Har Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Silta Har's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Silta Har's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Silta Har Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on.
Here is Landeskog setting up McKinnon, and then it's Brock Branson and scores. 3-0, Colorado. Three goals in a minute, 23 seconds.
NBC Sports Network there with the call. Oh, it was so nice to be able to lay back on my couch, big screen TV, watch the Avalanche, pull away from Arizona late. Didn't have to resort to trying to stream and pick up the game on a VPN from Kazakhstan. It was very nice to be able to relax and watch hockey last night, yesterday afternoon. As the Avalanche pull away, three goals in the span of a minute 23 to beat Arizona. Mark, was there ever a time during that game where you were worried or concerned?
No.
See what I did there?
Yes. And there was never a time. I will tell you this, man. Watching hockey, and I don't watch a ton. But, you know, I watch enough to be dangerous, Mike.
Yes, just enough.
Just enough to be dangerous.
Just enough.
Dude, it has you on the edge of your seat. Is there any, I mean, playoff hockey.
They go so hard. They
and
do.
It just, and it,
never,
just,
it never lets up.
Like, I always feel like I'm, like, I always feel, it was like the feeling I had when I watched, what was that Bear Attack movie with, that one guy?
Oh, with Leo.
With Jack. Yeah, Leo.
The Revenant.
The Revenant. I was on the edge of my, the whole time, it's just like, you're always like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen? I was that way watching the game, and I mean, the ice was certainly tilted, right?
Oh,
they were playing. What do you say? DJ? Tilted ice, downhill?
No, the ice was tilted, yes.
Yeah, the ice was, I mean, it was one wave after the next wave after the next wave. The speed, the athleticism was definitely apparent. The Coyotes were way overmatched.
Way overmatched.
And there was only one guy that I really paid any attention to. It was Soderberg.
Yes.
But even he. I mean, even he didn't have enough soda and burgers in his pants.
Nope, not enough.
No.
Avalanche up one game to none. And
his breezers. His breezers.
His breezers. That's right.
Didn't have enough burgers
in
his breezers.
Oh, by the way, last thing, too. For all the people on the Rumelslaw.com text line who insisted that I was wrong when I said it would be Philip Grubauer in that in game one, and they were insisting it would be Pavel Francouz, I'm free to take your apologies right now. The Rumelslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043.
Very magnanimous
is
of you, Mike.
Open as, make it an apology line, if you'd like, for those who insisted that it would be Francouz and not Grubauer, who had 14 saves. 14 saves. That's it. In a shutout. 3-0 win. Game two coming up tomorrow. Next on the Morning Brew.
Leonard on the left wing screen to his right from Patterson, circling around to his right, steps it back. 22-footer over Plumlee. Oh, it's right down the middle. Kawhi Leonard.
Clippers radio right there.
Wait, is his name Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi.
Kawhi
like Leonard. Like Rushed.
Yeah.
Kawhi
Leonard.
Kawhi.
Yeah, I did kind of call him Kawhi.
Yeah, Kawhi.
Rush. Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard. I mean, sounds like he just came right out of Cobra Kai.
That's right.
Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi.
Might want to hold on to that for the second round. As I, the Nuggets will absolutely be in the second round because they got the team they wanted to play. The Utah Jazz, the team they went 3-0 against.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were trailing to them by 18 points the other day.
I like this. Wait a minute. On the Rumels dot, on the Rumels, you had
Ramos
said
Law.
Rumelslaw.com.
We call it the Kawhi text line.
He, this is a guy that doesn't want to apologize to you. He faced 14 shots. I could have made those saves.
Sure, sure.
All right. 3-2-2. Let me just say 3-2-2-1. No, you couldn't.
Yeah, no, you couldn't. And B, that wasn't the point. The point was who would start in game one.
I could have.
Who
made
would
those.
Start, not how he would play. Who would start in game one? I told you it would be Grubauer. It was 0374. I still would like to get that apology. Thank you very much. The Nuggets, do you think it will hurt them at all? I don't know. The basketball gods, karma, all that stuff. The fact that they pretty much tried. Well, I don't think that. Let me a minute. I don't think they tried to lose, but they certainly didn't attempt to win.
Yes.
Do you think that'll come back to bite them at all?
I think eventually, yes.
That
but I didn't think they were going to get to the Western Conference Finals anyhow.
No.
So
no, I don't think they can beat the Clippers, and that's who they'll get in the second round.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe they won't, because Dallas is going to play the Clippers. I mean, excuse me, the Clippers have to play the Dallas Mavericks.
That's right.
And watch out for the Mavs.
That's right.
Clear.
You know why?
Well, the Nuggets didn't want any part of them.
Right, because my name is Luka. I live on the second floor.
Next on the Morning Brew.
And a high drive to deep left field. That's way out of here. Second of the season for Starley Marte over the bleachers on the walkway in left field. It's 2-1 D-backs.
2-1 D-backs.
That's Starley. Yeah, see? Good pull, Benny. No, keep that going. That's what they're scared of. Look at Benny. Benny's on his game. My name is Luca. You don't want none of the Mavericks. He lives in the second floor of their domes. Michael Malone's
right.
dome is where he lives.
That's right.
He's living there right now, rent free.
Luke is living in Michael Malone's dome. Yeah,
walking around in his skivvies with no shirt on.
That's right.
Scratching his nethers.
Ah, D-backs radio there with the puking announcer. So the Rockies lose, and the pitching got knocked around again.
Yeah.
Not to go all Denny Green on you, but is this bullpen starting to be who we thought they were?
I am not ready to go there. There's a couple of question marks. They're leaking a little bit of oil. I think you're going to have to get deeper into your bullpen, Mike. So Kenley's a guy who's been great, but the last couple of outings, he's put a lot of traffic on the bases. It finally came back to bite him in the butt. Remember, when he came from, did he come from the Marlins, I believe? He was a guy that had a lot of issues with walks and putting people on. Okay, so the last couple outings, he loaded the bases in his last, the outing before yesterday, and got out of it without giving up a run. Eventually, that's going to come back to bite you in the hiney. And it did yesterday for him. I think they're going to have to get deeper with their bullpen. Mike, there's a bunch of guys in that bullpen they haven't trusted, they haven't used, they haven't wanted to use. And they're going to have to be, but they've been, everything has been close, right? Like every time they go to their bullpen, it's a 5-2 lead. It's a 4-2 ball game. It's pretty close. So they're going with the arms that they trust. That's one issue. So they're going to have to get a little deeper with their bullpen, I think. And then the other thing is, I think the closing role is still so in flux that everybody wonders. Like when you wonder about your role as a pitcher in the big leagues, what is my role? Guys like to know, hey man, I'm in the seventh. Hey, I'm in the eighth. Hey, I'm the ninth inning guy. I'm the closer. Hey, I'm the, you know, guys like to find roles, and I just don't know that they've been able in this short season to define any roles as of yet.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Our stadium also has quite a naturally built airflow that can be very positive relative to protecting and be safe for our fans. Now, that's not all of it, but when we finish showing our fans what and how and what we can do to make it safe to come to the ball games, I'm really proud that we've got that stadium to work with.
Speak English, Doc. We ain't scientists.
Jerry Jones definitely plans on having fans at Cowboys games this year, while acknowledging that it won't be a sold-out house, you know, but that he does expect a large number of fans at Cowboy games. Mark, do you expect there to be fans at Bronco games this year?
Right now, no. Later on in the year, maybe.
Why? Why no at the beginning of the season?
I just still think there's so many unknowns, and I don't know, you know, from a government standpoint, it's not really your choice. It's not Jerry's choice to say, hey, I mean, in Texas, I think they'll just ramrod anything through, right? Texas is like, it's like their own little, they like their own little country.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, I imagine they'll open for a percentage of people. And like Jerry said, I mean, he's practically a scientist. I mean, they've got good airflow. They're probably, ingesting some disinfectant. You know, he probably consulted with Trump on the airflow thing, right? Some disinfectant. We've got some goods. The virus, we've got good sight lines, and the virus does not like our sight lines and our sunshine. We got sunshine in Texas. So that and the airflow, and oh, I farted. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You've gone off the rails. I can't wait to check the text line in 3, 2, 1.
I listen, man. All right. I think Texas, because Texas is Texas, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty much, I mean, all you have to say is it's Texas.
Yes. Yes.
But I think that places like Denver will be a little bit more conservative.
Okay.
Colorado will be more conservative than Texas.
We'll get James Merrillat's thought on that, as well as everything else that went on in a busy, busy day of sports yesterday. Good to have busy days of sports like that.
It is.
Wondering when, there was a time we were wondering if we'd ever see that again. All right, James Merrillat joins us next.
I live on the second floor.
Yeah, apparently the Nuggets want nothing to do with Luka. Yes, Luka doesn't live on the second floor. He lives in Michael Malone's head.
Apparently lives in everybody's head. Over
yeah, apparently. So much so that the Nuggets the last 2 days desperately went out of their way. Well, I don't know if they intentionally tried to lose James Merrillat, but they certainly didn't really put much of an effort into winning.
No, they didn't. Great pull, by the way, with that song. That's a that's an oldie but a goodie. But no, it bugs me. Like, if Dallas is so good and they're so scary, why are they the seventh seed? Right? Like, that's the part of it I just don't get. And look, I get it. Luka's a great player. He's probably not far away from being the best player in the league here in a couple of years. But I just don't remember great teams, championship caliber teams, which a lot of people want to tell us this Nuggets team is. I don't remember those teams, kind of tanking down the stretch to avoid the seven seed. I just don't think that's what you do when you're a team that has legitimate championship aspirations. I think you go out, you try to win every game you're playing, you establish that mindset. I think that's more important than trying to figure out, well, Utah is a better matchup for us than Dallas. The other part of it is, guys, I'm not sure Utah is this great matchup everybody thinks. I mean, it's a team that was up by 18 in the first half the other day against the Nuggets, took them to double overtime and had the ball in their hands down two with 4 seconds to go in the second overtime. So if that's the great matchup they're vying for, I'm just not seeing it. So I don't like when you go out and play in any game. I don't care if you're playing at 24-hour fitness or down in the bubble. I don't like when you go out there and you're not trying to win. It just bugs me.
Here's my concern, is that we look at the young players that are playing and Michael Porter Jr., and it's been fun, but this is not, what we're witnessing is not playoff style basketball.
No.
And my concern is this, no Barton, no Harris, are they going to be healthy enough? I know Michael Malone, just by his statements, he would rather play veterans than young guys and rookies like Michael Porter Jr. How much concern do you have, James, that they're not at full strength and they don't have two veteran players that are considered starters in Michael Malone's mind?
Yeah, it's a big concern. I mean, the 8 games was all about, kind of getting everybody back on the same page, and you wanted to be peaking going into the playoffs. The record didn't really matter. To some extent, the seeds didn't really matter either because, there's no home court advantage. So, in my mind, you wanted to avoid the 4 and the 5 so you didn't get the Lakers in the second round. Other than that, it really didn't matter. I don't look at this team, though, as like, hey, they're all on the same page because they haven't played together. Two of them haven't played at all. Jamal Murray's played 3 games, and, he sat out the fourth quarter of the last two. And I don't know that they're playing all that good at basketball. Their defense is terrible. They can't get out and stop teams beyond the 3-point line. They play good in spurts. The second half against Utah, they were really, really good. Part of the overtimes against Utah, they were really, really good, but they also blew a 6-point lead with 10 seconds to play in that game. I mean, there's just been some times where, this team just does not look ready to go for anything, let alone a long playoff run. So, yeah, I'm concerned. I'm concerned that this 8-game tune-up hasn't been put to good use, and in part that's because of the injuries. But, we don't get much information on when or if Gary Harris and Will Barton are going to come back. I'm with you. I think Michael Malone would play a veteran in a heartbeat. We saw that, during Jamal Murray's rookie year. He played Jameer Nelson over and over and over again instead of Jamal Murray during, crucial situations down the stretch in a season that they didn't even make the playoffs. So in a postseason game, if he has his choice between Gary Harris, Will Barton, or Michael Porter Jr., I know which way I'm going to bet. So, I like this roster. I like the team. I like most of the guys on it. They're fun to watch. But do I think they're heading into the playoffs, firing on all cylinders, so to speak? I don't know. It's not even close. They're nowhere near that.
Visiting with James Merrillat. A couple of takeaways from the Avs game one win over Arizona?
I think this is a mismatch. I know it went for, 54 minutes as a 0-0 tie, but Colorado dominated throughout the game, just couldn't get one in the back of the net. And then, the 83 seconds where they got 3 of them kind of broke it open, obviously. But I think it's a mismatch. I think the Avs have a legit shot of winning this thing. They're really, really good. They just come at you in waves. It's just like there's never a time when the opponent can just kind of take a breath and go, all right, well, this is the shift where, you know, it's a little easier. They just keep hammering at you. You know, I don't think it's going to be that easy for Grubauer and, you know, defensively in every game. But, you know, they dominated. They dominated, you know, in every phase. So, it was plenty of reason to be excited about what you saw out of the Avs. There's a team that took only three games that they had up in the hub and really kind of found their groove and got their mojo back, and they're playing great hockey.
All right, 2 points of order. I hate people that say 83 seconds. Hate that. Yeah, just give me a minute 23, right?
Says the guy who says scores backwards. Okay.
Well, but I do, yeah. Now I have to do math. 83 seconds. How long is 83 seconds? I don't know. It's like the people, it's like pregnant people who give you the weeks. Like the baby's been born for
That'd
2 years.
Pregnant women.
Yes. Well, you never know anymore. So, I mean, you know, they give you the weeks. Like the kid is 3 years old. Oh, he's 72 months.
Yeah.
Like,
you're right.
Shut up.
You're right. That's a good
that
point.
Drives me
I
crazy.
I don't like that. You're right.
So
now
let's go a minute 23,
right.
Not 83 seconds. Yeah. And then some people on the text line. James Merrillat wrong again. That is not a great song. Oldie but goodie, James. Do you want to rethink that?
Those are. Hey,
I'm with you. I like anything 80s, so I'm good there. But
I'm just saying, as soon as it came on, I was, you know, it was going through my head. I knew the words, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, was I jamming to that in the 80s? Probably not, but it must be a decent song if, what, 30, 40 years later, I still knew exactly where it was going about four notes into it.
Yeah.
So, you know, depends on how you measure it. But I'm kind of with you on the 83 seconds thing.
Yeah.
That's just me repeating what I had heard. But, no, I'd prefer it's a minute and 23.
Okay, good.
That's a fair criticism.
Okay, good.
I'm going to change my ways.
All right, thank you.
James Merrillat from 104.3TheFan.com. Check out everything he's got there, including his stable of writers that now includes Millennial Ben.
That's going to be an angry article.
Just be prepared. You may have competition for angriest voice on the fan.
That's good. That's good. No, he's been great so far. So we're looking forward to more
so
and more.
Far. Yeah, kind of like the Rockies bullpen. It's been great so far.
Great day.
Thanks, James.
Arizona. All right.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, James Merrillat, join us. Okay, coming up next, and if you got some thoughts on the Rockies, Nuggets, Avalanche first win, hit us up on the ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Who are the best play callers in the NFL, and what should we expect out of Pat Shurmur? That's coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.